Hello everyone, welcome to our online service today. It's so great to see you guys all here. Today we're currently in our worship series where we're going to be talking everything to do with worship and learning a bit about what it means to, I guess, come into worship with our Lord. Get yourselves ready, get yourself anticipated for what is going to be spoken today, and let's head straight over to the message.
Oh Father, we just want to thank you for your love, for your faithfulness. Lord, so many people promise us so much. The world promises us so much. Finances and power and position, all of this promise us so much. But Lord, they are not faithful. That there comes a point where they falter and they fail us. But Father, we thank you that you are always faithful. That on the cross, you demonstrated that you are willing to go to any length, to every length, to bring us back into relationship with you. You were faithful to the end upon that cross, and you are faithful to us now. Lord, whatever situation, whatever circumstance that we may be facing, it may seem overwhelming, it may seem too big for us to handle, it may seem too much, and that we can't cope. But Father, I pray that everybody in this place right now would have a sense of your faithfulness, will have an experience with your faithfulness, will have an encounter with the true and living God of the universe, who will never leave us and will never forsake us and won't walk out when times get tough, when times get hard, but will step in. We'll step in with love, with grace, and with mercy just when we need it most, because you are faithful. And Father, we want to thank you for that. As we celebrate you, who you are, and what you've done for us. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. Fantastic. You can grab your seats, guys. And we are very privileged today to have someone, a new friend of the house, but someone connected to people that we might have known or met before. So some of you might remember back going quite a few years ago now, we had Cam Bennett come and share one time. We also had Renee, his wife, come and share. It was one of our first She conferences that she came and shared powerfully. And so they've started a church quite a few years ago. We actually had the privilege of going to the first service up there on the Gold Coast of public church. And so this morning we have Pastor Isaiah, who's going to come. So he's the campus pastor of the Brisbane campus under Cam and Renee, and also heavily involved with Youth Alive for Queensland, but also like right across Australia, as Pastor Cam oversees Youth Alive across the nation. So so we're very privileged and excited to see what God has laid upon his heart this morning. So would you please welcome Pastor Isaiah as he comes and shares with us this morning.
How you doing this morning? Is everyone good? Fantastic. I appreciate you guys having me. New friends, Pastor Josh and Belinda. The boys picked me up this morning, Jacob and Brock. I have to admit, Murray Bridge has got kinder people than Brisbane. I'm just telling you off the bat, you guys are so nice. People are smiling at me. I'm like, this is awesome. This is so nice. I've heard so much about this church, and Sam actually messaged me because I'm here, was doing some stuff with Sam, and Sam goes, would you come to Murray Bridge? And I was like, yes, absolutely, I would love to. Cancel everything else. I want to be here this morning because I've just heard about what's on this house. And do you know this is what the church is meant to represent? The church is meant to represent God establishing his kingdom in a region. Like, you do know that, right? This house is meant to be the gateway between the natural and the supernatural. And I reckon, I don't know many people in the room, but I reckon there are people who have marked and have been marked by the supernatural touch of God. And I just really believe with all my heart that I'm just pumped that I get to be a part of your story this morning. I hope that this message encourages you and that you leave here refreshed. Is that okay? That's good. I love this place. I don't know why. I might stay. I've been married for 10 years. My wife and I, thanks for that. It really is an achievement. I've been married for 10 years. Renee is an artist, so you got to pray for me. Artists are special people, and she does all the graphic design, and she runs a small business, and we've been married for 10 years. We don't have kids, but I tell you what, I'm still a big kid by nature. She's awesome. She is looking after Brisbane while I'm here. And I just thought I'd give you a bit of a background. My dad's African-American and my mum's Canadian. My dad's 6'8", he's black, and my mum's 5'8", she's white. And so that's why I look like this. And some people are confused, you know what I mean? Like, well, God, there's not many people like you around. I know, hey, especially in Adelaide. And it's been cool. I got saved at a young age. The first person in my family actually to get saved. And then progressively I saw my sister come to the Lord, my mum come to the Lord, there's still some more siblings that are sinners that need the love of God, I'm telling you right now, God can do it. And so that's a little bit about me. But I want to talk this morning on a subject around, I guess I'm going to tie worship in, but I really felt in my heart I needed to share this, and it's called A Walk to Remember. And there's actually quite a bit of the story, so bear with me this morning. I'm going to read two portions of scripture, Isaiah 30 verse 21, and Luke 24, 13 to 35, and I'm going to read it. You just follow along. If you don't have Bibles, I'm sure they'll be up on the screen. But Isaiah 30, 21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you." Everybody say behind you. Saying, "This is the way, walk in it." When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So there's a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." In Luke, it says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still looking sad. And then one of them named Cleopas answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said, 'What? What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They're at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them," this is Jesus, "O foolish ones and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further." This is Jesus. He pump faked. "Acted as if," basketball reference, whatever, "acted as if they were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us. It's getting dark. It's towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at a table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and bang, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 who were there with them gathered today, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them for the breaking of bread." I'm a bit of a phase guy. Like, I don't know if it's ADD. I don't know what it is, but I really get engaged in certain activities and then I get sick of it. So for example, like over COVID, I bought a PS4. I told you I was a big kid. Don't judge me. I bought a PlayStation 4. And over COVID, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was sick of online church. I was sick of it. I was sick of Zooming. I was sick of like smiling on the camera. I didn't like COVID at all. I like being out with people. And so I was like, this is my me time. You know what I mean? This is my hobby time. And so I got on the PS4 and I'm playing. And I started to get like really into it. Like I started buying skins for characters. Like it got dark. Like seriously, it did. And like I started like really like spending money on like virtual. Like it was just weird. And anyway, so I'm playing one day and I said to my wife, babe, it's just a phase. You know me. Get over it. It's going to be fine. Like after COVID, we're going to be good. But COVID finished and I was still playing. You know what I mean? Like, and I knew it got bad when, I think it was about 10:30 at night. I'm about to go to sleep. I was like, I'll play one more. And then Renee, she's working on the computer next to me and I got my headset on and I was yelling at someone, just yelling at someone. Right? And Renee's like, who are you yelling at? And I'm like, oh, this is 12-year-old kid. I don't even know who he's, I don't know who it is, but he's playing terrible. He's making me lose. And she's like, Isaiah, like, you're yelling at a 12-year-old. It was at that time I realized the PlayStation needed to be sold. Like, needs to be sold. But I'm a phase guy. I went on a bit of a walking phase. I was like trying to get out into nature. I read a book called it was by John Comer. It was talking about it was a great book. And I was like, I need to go into nature. And so I started walking, and I started really being into the nature walks. And it was a phase that was like over pretty quickly because I don't like walking. Like, like I just didn't. And I tried my hardest to really enjoy it. And I was like, man, look at the nature. You know what I mean? Like I'd walk up to like, I'd hike and I'd be like, man, this is awesome. But my mum, she sort of like, mum was like a bit of like a, everything was out to get me like when I was a young kid. And so like, she sort of instilled in me, like I remember there was this time where mum's Canadian and she's a bit paranoid. And so like, I would come home from school and mum would say things like this: did you drink out anybody's water bottle today? I'm like, no, mum, like you packed my own bottle. And she's like, good, I don't want you to get minge and a cockle. And I'm like, what is that? It sounds scary. It's like this scary disease that was going on. And so every day mum's asking me, have I done something? Have I drank out of someone's bottle? Like she was paranoid, a paranoid mum. I remember I would sit on the couch and I wasn't allowed to put my feet on the couch. I would use a blanket and mum's like, don't use that blanket. And I'm like, but isn't that what blankets are used for? She's like, that's not a blanket, it's a throw. What's a throw, mum? It's the appearance of a blanket, but it's for an appearance. It's not for functionality. And so this was what my mum was like. My mum, she was awesome, but she made me paranoid. So on the walk, I was thinking, man, what if I got bitten by a snake? And you know, I just started thinking crazy stuff, all thanks to my mum. And I realized the best part about going on a walk is that there is an ending point. There is a point where you can put your feet up and relax. There is a point where the walk ends. That's the only great thing about a walk. Think about it. When you start walking, you just can't wait to get home. What would be a nightmare to me is a never-ending walk, though. That's hell. That is what hell would be, a walk that never ends. And I'm looking at this story of these disciples who are a bit upset. They're a bit disorientated because the promised Jesus didn't appear to them the way that they thought. They thought Jesus was going to come down, restore the government, make peace on the earth, and then all of a sudden he's been crucified. And so the Bible says they're going on a 7-mile walk. But in my opinion, they embarked on a never-ending journey really quickly because their hearts were troubled and they were disorientated and upset. And they began a never-ending walk of disappointment because Jesus didn't appear to them the way that they thought. And I reckon all of us in this room have embarked on, maybe unintentionally, never-ending walks. Maybe something's happened to you and you just can't let it go. You can't shake it. And so we end up going on this never-ending journey. And to me, what I love about this whole story is that this story is not about the faith of two. It's about the kindness of one. And it's about the kindness of our God in the midst of confusing, hurting, and disorientated moments that we all face as Christians here. See, I want to talk to you this morning not just about what you can do to get closer to God. I want to talk to you this morning about what God does to get closer to you. I want to talk to you about the nature of God who is moving towards you even when you're not moving towards Him. I want to talk about the kindness and the goodness of God that leads us all to repentance. See, I'm all about us seeking God. The Bible talks about that. I'm all about us wanting God and praying and fasting and giving. I mean, these are all the things that God has called us to do. But I want to talk about the nature of Jesus and what he did in the moment of these two disciples going on a never-ending walk. A walk full of disappointment, a walk full of regret, a walk full of shame. And I thought, just bear with me for a minute, because this is a different type of preaching, but I thought, I wonder if these types of walks that we go on as believers or as people on the journey of faith, I wonder if these types of walks actually attract the nature of God. Because to me, these two were on a walk with no faith, full of disappointment, full of hurt, and they didn't even realize that that walk was attracting the caring companion. The Bible says that Jesus appeared to them from behind. Wasn't the first scripture that we read this morning was that there will be a word or a voice that comes from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it? Like, this is the nature of who God is. He drew near to them despite no attempt of them drawing near to him. In our deepest moments of sadness, disappointment, it's important to note this morning that the caring companion will draw near to you. And I want to talk about it because we live in sometimes this religious idea where it's like, if I'm sad and disappointment, I better give God a sacrifice of praise. I agree with that. But even when you forget to, even when you're overwhelmed to, the caring companion is drawing near to you. It's in his nature. It's who he is. Remember our opening scripture, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk. We're talking about a walk because all of our faith journeys this morning is that. It's a walk. And we're walking things out. But the important thing for you to note is that there is a voice that's coming from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. I was a kid in school that constantly got, every time I had to give my mom my report card, I was nervous. That should give you an idea of the type of student I was. I was nervous, and most of the times it was always like, Isaiah, he's got so much potential, but he's a class clown. And I remembered, like, there was this one teacher that I really resonated with. Her style of teaching was awesome. And I would be writing and doing my thing, and she'd come from behind and be like, hey, Isaiah, you know, maybe don't do cursive in print writing. Like, pick one and stick to it. I'm like, I never thought of that. I had another teacher called Mr. Weimer. I shouldn't say his name. Rick Weimer. Anyway. And he was a mean teacher, and he would yell at me from the front of the class, and he would embarrass me and humiliate me, and it didn't make me want to change. It didn't give me the confidence in my ability. In fact, if anything, it made me shrink back even more. It made me not want to do it anymore. Two different approaches gave two different outcomes. And I think a lot of us think Jesus is ahead of us in our faith, saying, hey, come on, move forward, drop that. Do this, don't do that. No. The scriptures say that he comes from behind and says, this is the way, walk in it. I love that so much that he's not at the front beckoning us. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is not into behavior modification. He's into heart transformation. And when he gets on the inside of me, everything begins to change. And can I be honest with you? Be patient with you. Just be patient with you for a minute, because God is very patient with you. It might take some time for you to move from this way to this way. It might take some time for you to let go of this. He is patient and he is kind, and it's his goodness that will lead you to repentance. Two styles of approach, and the one that helped me the most was when there was the subtle correction from behind. But what ends up making these types of walks a never-ending walk, because I said that, right? It would literally be hell if a walk never ended, right? I've seen Christians who have continued on the walk of unforgiveness for years. I've seen Christians continue on the walk for, so that's where I'm saying this can become a never-ending walk. These disciples who were filled with disappointment were about to embark on a never-ending walk. Disappointment. He let us down. He said he was coming and he's not. What makes our walks never-ending is when we don't listen to the voice. That's what makes the walks never-ending. is when we don't listen to the voice of God. Listen to this. In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. I want you to picture this. Jesus, he's revealed. He's a ninja. They don't know who he is. This is this random guy who's come up behind on a street of disappointment. And he's like, man, the disciples are like, are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? Like Jesus, he's here. You know, you heard of Jesus. He's verified on Instagram. Million followers. You've heard of him. He's a big deal. Yeah, well, he was meant to be our redeemer, our restorer, our rescuer, and he's dead. And the women, some of our women went and they were like, he's not here, and they saw angels. But we went, and they're right, he wasn't there. But we didn't see angels. And so they're upset. They're walking, who is this guy? And Jesus goes, foolish ones. I reckon it was kind. Oh, foolish ones. Scriptures say in that moment, he was like, don't you remember, like, in Isaiah, the prophetic word that was talking about the coming Messiah? Don't you remember in Moses? Don't you remember? It started pulling out all of these prophecies and all of the words concerning the coming Messiah. There's a little key here. For those of you who start on a never-ending walk, it's more important what he said than what we're saying. So what we have to do as Christians who are on walks of disappointment, walks of unforgiveness, is go back to what he said. I am more than a conqueror. I am above and not beneath. I am the head, not the tail. I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. I am a part of the royal priesthood. When I start going back to what he said, it helps encourage me on my walk. And if Jesus is doing it for these disappointed disciples, how much more do we need to be doing that? Oh, I don't have the strength to read. Listen to it. Listen to the audio Bible. I'm still waiting for Morgan Freeman to do one. Listen to it. Whatever it takes. It's more important what he says than what I'm saying. The scriptures actually say this. Hey, can we turn the lights off? Is that possible? Sorry, I should... Yeah. Turn them all off, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Even, yeah, those, I don't know if you can. No, don't worry about those. Can you turn the LED off? Nah. I'm sorry, I'm doing this on the fly. If you can't, there we go. Give those guys a round of applause. So I love it. It's even darker. Fantastic. This is how we're going to go for the rest of the day. The scriptures say, then the Lord said, in Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So, which means that in the midst of darkness, now you might not be able to get the illustration, but you'll get the point. The Bible says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why do I need feet and a path? Because the scriptures say you're on a walk. And while you're on that walk, if you want to know where you're going, the word is what guides you. I love podcasts. I love worship albums. I love all of these things, and they should be a part of our journey. But it is not the light and the lamp that guides my feet. It's the word of God that guides my feet. So when you're on a walk and you're on a journey and you don't know where to go, it's time to turn the light on. It's time to read his word. You can turn the light back on. Thank you so much for that really practical illustration. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're talking about feet and path and walking. We're establishing this morning that we are all on a journey of faith and we are all on a walk. And some of your walks look different to mine. But how we make it never ending and how we make it fruitful is when we actually listen to his voice and listen to what he said. When Jesus approached the disappointed disciples, he encouraged them with the word. He encouraged them with his word. Listen to this. Since we're on the topic of walking, Deuteronomy 2:2-3 says, then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward. Huh? Then the Lord said to me, you've been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward. Leave that up there. That's a word for somebody here this morning. Listen, that right there is a word for somebody this morning. You've been on a never-ending walk. Listen to the voice. Turn northward. Maybe it's the mountain of disappointment like these disciples were facing. Maybe it's the mountain of family trauma. Maybe it's the mountain of whatever it is. Let me be honest. We've all got mountains. But what helps us to go onto the path of righteousness, what helps us to go onto the walk that we will remember, is when we listen to the direction of God. And in this instance, it's saying turn northward. What's he saying to you this morning? What's he saying to you this morning? You've been on this never-ending walk. Turn northward. Your word is a light unto my path. Your word guides. It's a lamp as I'm walking and as I'm figuring out my faith journey. It is important for us to understand we need to listen to the voice of God. I've noticed that God speaks in the strangest ways. Right? Have you noticed that? He really does. He speaks in the strangest ways. And sometimes we think that God's going to speak in the wow. You know how God speaks to me sometimes? When I'm doing the dishes. That's when God just starts downloading. Maybe it's because I'm serving my wife. I don't know what it is. But it's in the moment, in the most peculiar moments where God starts to speak to me. I'll give you an analogy. I remember the story of Elijah, the prophet. He's just come out of a never-ending walk. Disappointed. Actually said, God, take my life. He comes out of a place of anxiety and brokenness and gets up onto this sort of hill. And there's a fire, a wind, an earthquake, and all these phenomenons. And he's like, oh God, surely you're in one of these things. But he wasn't in any of them. Then the Bible says, out of the cave came a still, small, quiet voice. In the most unlikely place, Elijah heard the voice of God. And when he heard the voice of God, guess what God said? Elijah, what are you doing here? Oh, you know, God said that to me so many times. What are you doing in this bitterness, Isaiah? What are you doing in this unforgiveness? Give it to me. And Elijah heard the voice of God. What are you doing here? And as the fruit of that, his walk came from being never-ending to purposeful. The Bible says that he found Elisha plowing in the field, threw the mantle over Elisha. And now the scripture records that Elisha, who served under Elijah, did double the amount of miracles and more. What was once a never-ending walk, when Elijah encountered the voice of God, all of a sudden he went on a walk with purpose. He went on a walk of purpose and he found Elisha. I love this story so much because it encourages me this, that God is speaking all the time. The question we've got to ask ourselves is, are we listening? Are we listening? The disciples could have been like, hey, I'm on this walk. We're upset, devastated. Hey, I don't want to hear about the prophets. I don't want to hear about the Torah. I don't want to hear about all the things concerning Jesus. I don't want to hear about that. But they listened to the voice. And something happened on that walk that made that not a never-ending walk, but it made it a walk to remember. Something happened on that walk. They started the walk upset, disappointed, and devastated. Where's Jacob? Jacob here? Jacob, yeah, come. Give Jacob a round of applause. Yeah, come up here. Jacob, this is a practical example. I've never done two in one day, but here we go. Come this way, Jacob. So Jacob, face that way. Yeah, fantastic, great. Handsome young man. Great, there we go. A lot more hair than me. I need the anointing of that. Okay, so they're on a never-ending walk. I want to give the example of what this looks like. We're on our faith journey. And the Bible says that, behold, you shall hear the word of the Lord from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I've noticed that as I'm on my journey, right, and I just begin to walk in faith, take little steps so we don't use up this whole room. Yeah, that's a great, even smaller steps. Yeah, great. So when I'm on this journey of faith, I've noticed that there are times where I just feel a prompting saying, stop, turn left, smooth, little steps, baby steps. Yeah, great. Great, baby steps, keep going, fantastic. Stop, turn right, keep going, fantastic. This is what the voice of the Lord is like. See, some of us think that there are these massive moments where God is gonna give you a defining word, which he will and he does. But I've noticed that God knows that we're on a journey just as much as we know we're on a journey. And it's the little tiny voices that are encouraging us every single day of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. Keep going, keep going. If we're going to be really practical, maybe it's like, hey, stop right there. Don't invest in that relationship right now. Hey, turn this way. Keep going. hey, stop right there. I know this promotion looks really awesome, but this is not what I have for you. Turn this way. Have you noticed that? Like, God literally would be like, keep going, keep going. Hey, you know how you don't feel peace in this setting right now? I need you to pray. Like that, thank you, Jacob. Give Jacob a hand. That is what the voice of the Lord is like. It's a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah the prophet, thousands of years ago, prophesied that there will be a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then we see the Emmaus Road. And Jesus, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, God with us, fulfills that prophecy by walking behind these disappointed disciples saying, this is the way, walk in it. I love that Jesus wasn't intimidated by their disappointment. I love that Jesus wasn't repulsed by their bad attitude. I love that Jesus wasn't rebuking them because they didn't have enough faith. See, this is sometimes the God that we think, but if we look at the nature of who God is, he's very aware of the human condition, and we cannot do anything apart from him. He is patient. He is kind. He is loving, and he is on our walk. That's all we need to know. I'm going to get the keys up, and I want to land on this last point. The first point, if you are with me, is that we have to understand that on our journey, the caring companion will sometimes move towards us. In fact, what I've noticed is that all the time, the caring companion will come. And how many of you are grateful that when you're not feeling it in faith, he is still there and he is imparting faith into your journey? That is the nature of God. Not only does the caring companion draw near, the caring companion will encourage you to read what he said rather than speak out what you think. And it's important that we do that because when I go back into the scriptures, I see evidence of breakthrough. I see evidence of God's faithfulness. I see evidence of God's peace. That's why Jesus said, hey, why are you so upset? Remember the prophet when he prophesied the Messiah was coming. Remember this? And then all of a sudden the scriptures say that as they were on the walk, Jesus acted as if he was going further. Great actor. I call it a pump fake. If you're like, what's that? In basketball, you would get the ball. You would pump fake. The defender would jump. You look at them. Gotcha. Turn to the left or the right, shoot it. You get them off course. What Jesus just did is he did a little pump fake. The scriptures say he acted as if he was going further. But really, all Jesus was wanting was an invitation. That's what Jesus is wanting from you, an invitation. The nature of God is not somebody who will kick your door down, but he will knock. And so he acted as if he were going further, and the disciples said this, I love it. Classic dudes, by the way. They said, hey, it's getting dark out. You should stay a little. Really what they wanted to say was, there's something about you that is putting my soul at ease. There is something about you that is making me feel like this is not a never-ending walk. So the scriptures say that he said, stay with us, it's getting dark and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at a table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And it was at that point their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. This is what he said. Listen to me. This is what he said. This is what they said. Whoa! Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? Like, didn't we feel the heaviness start to lift as he started, listen, while he opened to us the scriptures, didn't our hearts start to burn within us that there was hope again, that there was a future again? When he opened the word to us, can I tell you something? This is worship. Listen to me. This is worship. Worship is in the midst of my walk that I'm inviting the Holy Spirit into my situation. and I'm allowing Him to speak. Can I tell you something? That is true worship. When we listen to the voice of God, when we obey the voice of God, when we make room for the voice of God in the midst of my never-ending war. Tell you what was once a never-ending walk for these disciples became a walk to remember. Scriptures say they ran back. They ran back to the girls who saw them. They're like, hey, you were right. Women are always right. We've been conditioned, even from then, that they're always right. You were right. We did see Him. He appeared to us as well. The women were like, we told you. We told you. He appeared to us as well. And then all of a sudden, two that were encouraged became a group that were encouraged again. On our never-ending walk, when we listen to the voice, when we say, God, would you stay with us? All of a sudden, what was once disappointment and shame and regret comes this moment where we go, didn't our hearts burn within us? In the midst of our disappointment and sadness, He is present. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Jesus, their guest, an uninvited guest, became their host, then became their Lord, all because they said, stay with us. I love this scripture. Listen to this one. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open it and let me in, listen, we will share a meal together as friends. This is Jesus talking. This is worship. I've noticed that in our walks, there is a knock, and it's a subtle knock. It's not a loud knock. It's a subtle knock. The question I have to ask you this morning is, we're all on a walk. Maybe some of you feel like you're on a never-ending walk. Have you heard the knock? The consistent knock that knocks in every season, just saying, if you open the door and let me in, we'll share a meal together as friends, just like He did on the Emmaus Road. We'll share a meal together as friends. And all of a sudden, after that moment, we go, man, didn't my heart burn within me? Why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads right across this room? I believe that the presence of God is here. And there is an opportunity to say, just like these disciples said, would you stay with me? Come on, right across this place. Just close your eyes. I want to ask just a simple question. You're on a never-ending walk, and you need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit this morning to help you realize that this walk doesn't define you, but in fact, this is a walk that I'll never forget, because Jesus came exactly how I was and He helped me. He encouraged me. My heart burnt within me, and what was once a test has become a testimony, and now I've gone back and I've told everybody, look at what the Lord has done. In Murray Bridge, you were on a never-ending walk and people knew the walk of pain and shame that you were on. But when you let the Holy Spirit into your heart, all of a sudden, those same people that were watching you go back and say, oh man, my heart was burning within me. I allowed God in and He's changed it all. If that's you, you're like, I say, I am on a never-ending walk and I need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say you're in good company? I've been on these never-ending walks many times. And here's a testimony for you. He comes, He redeems, He restores, He sets free. If that's you and you're in this place, I just need you to wave at me really quickly. Say, yeah, that's me, Isaiah. I'm on a never-ending walk and I need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Give me a wave. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Yes, yes. You're so brave, by the way. Yes. Anybody else? A never-ending walk. Never-ending walk. Yes. Bless you guys. Come on, stand to your feet, everybody, just really quickly. Stand to your feet. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to pray for everybody. But this is what I want you to do. Listen to me really clearly. There's going to be a moment where we're going to pray for people. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to feel a shift in your heart. You're going to have the disciple moment. Where didn't my heart burn within me? As I let Him in and He did what He did. We're going to pray, but this is what I need you to do. Some of you have put your hand up and said, this is awesome. Isaiah, you're already praying for me, that's fine. Listen, there's an anointing here this morning to heal hearts. There's an anointing here this morning to encourage you that you are on a walk that you're gonna remember forever. It's the walk when I let God into my heart and He changed it all around, okay? But the Bible also says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So there's this action that we take sometimes as believers where we take a step of faith. And this morning, can I just encourage you? This altar is a step of faith. Going, God, I need you in my life. I need you in this walk. So I'm going to pray for everybody. And then if you put your hand up, I'm going to beckon you to come forward. And we've got a prayer team that are going to come and pray for you this morning. What's the point, listen to me, of coming to church and leaving the same? Hello? What's the point? There's no point. This is the connection point between the natural and the supernatural. God's here this morning and we're going to pray for you. So right across this place, Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord, every walk in this room that represents whatever it is, God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would intervene and that you would come and, Lord, that you would encourage. But this morning I'm asking, God, Lord, as we prepare this altar for you to do ministry and as we worship you and as we lift you up, God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would break open chains. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you would redeem, restore, set free. God, I'm asking, Lord, that what was once disappointment becomes joy. God, I'm asking, what was once unforgiveness becomes forgiveness. God, I'm asking, what was once anxiety becomes peace in your precious name, Jesus. Now, this is what's going to happen. As the band sings, if you put your hand up, please be brave. And just approach the front and we're going to pray for you. So if that was you, put your hand up, come to the front right now. Come on, don't hesitate. There's lots of hands. This is a moment of breakthrough. Come on. Amazing. Come on, let's sing together.
Well, thank you everyone for being with us online this morning and hearing that amazing message that was brought. If anything that was said today impacted you in any way, or you would like to get in contact with someone here about something that you may be going through or something that's got talked about on stage, please go to our website, life.house, and click on the My Response tab. We would love to connect with you guys and talk to you. And most importantly, get you connected with people who could share with you, talk with you, just overall just fellowship with you. Now, as much as it's great to have you guys online with us today, we also love seeing your faces. And so if you are able to, please feel free to come join us at a 10 a.m. service. We'd love to see you there.